Oh, David walked many times, didn't he, without the Lord, when he walked through the shadow of death. How many of you have walked at times and felt the Lord wasn't near, and you feared to walk alone? You had to fear to make that next step. But he says he's not given us that spirit of fear, but of power. You know, I think about the power that he gave the disciples. Some he gave the power to even to heal and to raise the dead. And many that cast out devils, many that healed the sick. And I think of the power that God gives us today. Well, Brother Hogan, what kind of power do we have today? He told Peter to tell Satan to get thee behind thee. We have that power today. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in wonderment. We can live according to the power of God, which we can tell Satan to get thee behind me. I do it every day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But I try in my best effort to tell Satan to leave me alone. But sometimes he just don't leave me alone. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." Have you ever been in a situation where someone asked you about the Lord and you kind of shied away from it? You didn't want to answer? What was you afraid of? Was you afraid of the wrath of God? I think we're more afraid of Satan. Be not thou ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Son of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is power in that gospel. There is power in believing on the Son of God, and God gives us that power to withstand a lot of things. I want to take some examples you'll find in the Old Testament of the power of God. Here were the three Hebrew children, men just like you and I, but they believed in the Almighty God. They walked in His countenance and walked in His favor, and yet they wouldn't bow down before that old king, and that king threw them in a fiery furnace. You reckon they feared going into that furnace? You reckon they fought and scrapped and tried to keep out of it? I don't believe they did. I believe they walked willingly. Why? Because they feared not the king. The Bible tells us, fear not man, but rather fear him that's able to kill the body and soul. They didn't fear King Nebuchadnezzar. I can imagine they went willingly into that furnace. Because of what? Because of their belief, their faith in the Almighty God that would be keeping them safe. I tell you, since the Lord, I believe, called me to preach His gospel, I've had to make a lot of steps out here uncertain. But I did it willingly, knowing that the Lord God was with me. There's times when I felt like that I might be alone, and I make that step and I look back and I see the Almighty was with me. Brother, now I'll tell you, when the Lord is with you, there is nothing that can be against you. Paul said, I'm persuaded there is nothing that can be against you. Neither tribulations or anything can be against you if God be for you. And God is for you. He's for everyone that he owns, that he's paid for with a price. You're his, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change that. Oh, I've heard people say, well, you can accept the Lord today and be lost tomorrow. Brother, no such thing. If God saved you once, he don't have to save you again. He did it one time at the end of the world. A lot of people can't get that straight in their mind. What world was he talking about? He's talking about the first world, the lost earth. He saved us for eternal glory by his own self. He didn't have to sacrifice himself to us. He didn't do it to us. He done it to the Father, and the Father accepted that sacrifice. And we're not to fear these things. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I'm not ashamed of what the Lord says. You know, I hear so-called preachers, they begin to read the Word of God, and they'll get down to something that the Lord said, and they'll skip over. What are they afraid of? They're afraid they'll tear up their little castle, their little kingdom, because of what Jesus said. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You believe that? I do. I believe that every hour of promise, every one that God chose before the foundation of the world, will hear his voice sometime between conception and death. And those that hear the voice of the Son of God will be made alive in Christ. They become a new creature. We're his. We've been bought with a price. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know, I've given that a little thought. Am I a prisoner of the Lord? There's a song we sing, are we a prisoner of the Lord? I believe we are. I'm bound by the duty that God has called me to do. Therefore, I'm a prisoner to this. There's times, and I know Brother Gleason has felt like those times when we just wanted to throw up our hands and say, I'm done. I'm done with it. Go to bed, and the next morning you get up, you're ready to get right back in. We are a prisoner of this. And I'll tell you the truth, I love to be a prisoner of the Lord. I don't want to be a prisoner of men and men's doctrine. I want to be a prisoner of God's doctrine. I'm not ashamed of what the Lord has said. I'm not ashamed of what the Bible says about me or the Lord, because it's all truth. I said many times, the truth hurts sometimes, but it's needful. It's what we need. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. I can assure you, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not going to be a bed of roses. You're not going to be able to walk on carpet all of the time. You're going to have some rough goings. You're going to have some hard road to hoe, as old saying goes. You're going to have some mountains to climb. You're going to have some valleys to go through. But Paul says, be partakers of that. We're to suffer persecution. We're to suffer afflictions. Well, just ask yourself this. Why do we suffer these things? Paul says, for the cause of Christ. Christ suffered these things. Why ought not we suffer these things if we are to be Christians? You know what Christians are? Being Christ-like. Are we like Christ? Or do we suffer these things? Or do we shy away from them? Are we afraid to have persecution? The brother and I were talking this morning about name-calling, what people call us old Baptists sometimes. We've got 100 different names people call us. And I told him, I don't care what they call me as long as I'm standing on the truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer. I don't mind them calling me whatever they want to call me. Persecute me. Paul says, I'm ready to suffer. I'm even ready to die for the cause of Christ. Let us not fear that, men, but let us rather fear God. One place he said, let us fear God and keep his commandments. Verse 9 tells us, says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Is that the doctrine that you believe this morning? Or is that just some things that's written in this word just to be read? I believe it's the doctrine of Jesus himself. I believe it's the doctrine that the apostles taught. while they walked here upon the earth. I believe that it's what God's people are living today. We stand on the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We're standing on the same doctrine that Jesus Christ taught here. We're standing on the same doctrines and principles that the disciples taught in the early churches, and it's been handed down from generation to generation and is now here in the church of the living God. And I pray that as time goes on, that it'll still stand. Why? Because it's the only true doctrine that tells what Jesus really is and what he really done when he saved us and he called us with a holy calling. Now, I don't see man in that nowhere. I see Jesus Christ that saved us. Matthew 1:21 says, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." I believe that he did there on the cross. I believe that he calls us with a holy calling. We can't ask for that calling. We can't refuse that calling. When God calls, we'll answer. And we're going to be born of the Spirit of God. We're going to be one of his. We can't refuse that. And I tell you, we can't direct the Spirit to us. It's like the wind that cometh and goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. When we're born of that Spirit of God, he's called us with a holy calling, not according to what we've done or who we are or what we're going to do. I've heard men say that God looked down from the portals of time and saw who would accept him and who wouldn't. Brethren, I don't believe that. In the morning I'm standing here, I believe that God knows every hour of promise, and they will receive that Spirit. He says, as I quoted in John 10 a while ago, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You believe that? I do, with all of my heart. If I didn't, I wouldn't be standing here this morning declaring unto you what great counsel the Lord has done for you, how that you ought to love him in holy reverence. I tell you, that's what gets me out here in the world, people calling me a reverend. I tell you, there's not but one reverend that I know of, and that's Jesus Christ. Holy and reverend is his name because he is the Redeemer and the Savior of poor sinners like you and I. Brethren, I'll tell you this much. This morning, we need to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear him in a righteous way. I tell you, we ought to fear him for what he does. As I was growing up, I had parents that loved me as the Lord loves you, and they wanted me to do right. And when I stepped out of line, I got corrected by a belt or a hickory switch. I'll tell you, brethren, this day, if you walk out of the line that Jesus Christ has set down for you, you're going to receive punishment too. I feared my father's belt. I tell you, I fear my heavenly father's teachings in my heart. I feel the correction that I have when I don't do as I ought to. Brother, I fear him in that sense. I tell you, and I didn't fear him until I began to understand and have knowledge and wisdom. I tell you, over in John's writings, he says in the 4th chapter, 18th verse, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made in perfect in love." I tell you, my friend, I feel like if God has loved you, he's put his perfect love in you, and we ought not to fear him in that sense of our eternal destiny, but fear him as he is. I tell you, brethren, to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And if you don't fear him, I remember growing up, and just as an example, I heard my dad and my granddad talk about rattlesnakes, and I was fearful of those things. I tell you, just to even mention the name, it caused cold chills to run up my back. But I didn't know anything about a rattlesnake. That always told me what a horrible snake that was. But as I grew older and began to work in the woods, logging, I began to encounter many of these rattlesnakes, and I began to learn their habits and learn about them. And now I don't fear them like I did in that day, because I have the knowledge and wisdom of what they can do and what they cannot do. And that's the same way with the Lord. When I found out what love the Lord has bestowed upon us, I tell you that we should be called the sons of God. I learned that He loved us with an everlasting love, and that He gave His life for us on the cross. And I began to understand what great love that He has for us. And I don't fear Him no more far as eternally destined, but I fear in the holy way of reverence unto Him, that He is the Almighty. I fear Him for that reason. And I fear a lot of things in this world. I fear some men. But I'll tell you, as I told a brother yesterday at a funeral, my uncle passed away, and I preached his funeral yesterday morning. I'll tell you, I told a man one time that I was fearful to stand before an audience, before a crowd, and speak. I could not do it. I was fearful of being ashamed to do that. But I'll tell you, when the love of God touched my heart, it changed me. It caused a new beginning in my heart. It caused me to want to stand and proclaim His truth. And now, I told a man, I'd stand before great nations and preach about my Savior. I'll tell you, that's what love will do for you. That's what love will carry you through. It'll take away a lot of that fear if you love the Lord and know this for sure. And the Bible says it, that it's true that He sticketh closer than a brother. He'll walk with you always. I'll tell you, when you start down the paths of uncertainty and you have fear, just know for certainty that the Lord is there beside you and walk with you. And that'll give you a little light. That'll give you a little comfort. That'll give you a little joy to know that the Lord is with you. And fear not. Oh, I tell you, children of God, I think back on the church many years ago when they were afraid to meet in public. They had to meet in back rooms and caves and houses because of the fear of the people. But I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord said, "Fear not, little flock, for it's God's good pleasure to give you this kingdom." It's here today, children of God. I'm not afraid of the government out here. I'm not afraid of someone coming through the door and taking me off to jail for what I believe. And I'm not afraid to stand on the front porches and declare the kingdom of our God. Why? Because our people feared not for many years, and they stood on the liberty that God has given us. They stood on the truth that's been given us. We ought to continue to do so, that we might find something. What is it that we find by standing for the truth? We find the joy of our salvation. I find joy in serving God. I find joy in talking about the Lord. There was a time in my life when I dreaded somebody that even mentioned the name of the Lord around me. I'd take a back seat and run. I was afeared, and I never did figure out what that fear was about. I think it was a fear of myself. But now I'm not ashamed. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the whole counsel of God. And I declare the whole counsel of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. I'm not ashamed of you people. I've heard people say, "Well, so-and-so comes to our church, I wish he didn't come there. He's got a bad reputation." I'm not ashamed of God's people because I know how they are. Because I'm counting them up. I'm just the biggest sinner as there is to walk in the face of the earth today. If I'm ashamed of you, I ought to be ashamed of myself. But I'm not ashamed of you. I'm proud of you in a way. Because you gave up the things of this world to be here in the church this morning. You're not ashamed of the gospel. If you was, you wouldn't be here. You're not ashamed or fear the Lord. You're here to pay reverence unto Him, to honor Him and to praise Him and to seek Him out while He shall be found. And you come this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to. I believe it's Psalm 27. Read a verse or two, then I'm going to give way to the least. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. the war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. How sweet that is. When all of the enemies of this world come upon you, he's there with you. He'll take you and set you upon that rock, higher than anything in this world, and there he'll protect you. He'll shield you from a lot of things out here in the world. He didn't say he'd shield them all. Isaiah tells us that we're going to have to go through the fires of affliction to burn off some of this old dross that's hanging on our back. New Testament tells us to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us and run the race that's set before us. We need to go through the trials and tribulations because we come out far better than the walls that we went in. We suffer because of Christ, but our suffering and our sorrow will be turned to joy. And we can come in from the trials of life to a little place like this, a little portion of God's people, and come in and sing praises and honor and glory to his name. And we find peace and joy. He says, least I fear that you enter into this rest. I don't want to be out of this rest. I want to find this rest that's in the Lord, that I can lay my burdens down at the feet of Jesus and be found. Worship him in spirit and in truth. May God bless you. May he give you the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge to serve him all the days of your life, that you might dwell in the house of the Lord and be satisfied. May God bless you with that prayer.
Speak to you just a minute on the fear of the Lord, as Brother Gene was talking about. We've lost a lot of that today, the reverence of what God is all about. In the book of James, it talks about first chapter, 21st verse. It says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's not what I mean. Bear with me just a minute. Thought I knew where it was. Well, I can't find it. I'm sorry. I thought I knew where it was. What I was trying to find was truth set me free. And I thought it was there, but I don't see it. But anyway, what I'd like to say to you this morning is that freedom comes from realizing what the truth is. And we've been deluded a lot about who God is in our lives and churches and government and so forth. And this holiday coming up, we see that freedom has been diluted quite a bit. And we thank the soldiers, rightly so, for what they've done, and we say we've got our freedom from the soldiers and everything. And scriptures tells us that freedom comes from knowing the truth. Even the Declaration of Independence declares that that God endowed us with certain gifts, and that was life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So our freedom comes from God, and I want you to understand that, especially this weekend, and to be able to hear who God is. I enjoy American history as much as anybody does. I like it very much. I like fireworks. I like having picnics and eating hot dogs and all types of stuff. But I don't want to get your freedom mixed up this weekend and overlook God and his role in what we have to celebrate. If you go back a few thousand years and understand the common opinion. Now take Adam and Seth and Methuselah and Abraham. Just pretend like you've never heard of these people. Think about the common Israelite before they were Israelites. Think about the common man. And the common opinion was that God was a good thing to have around. And that opinion is still there today, that God is a, you need God. You need a God in your life to establish some kind of order. You need a force bigger than you to establish what you need to do, regardless of what God you choose. You need a God to be a system of hope for you. If you were the greatest hope you had, you wouldn't have much. But if you've got an imaginary God that if you make him happy, if you impress God, then he might make you rich or something like that. And you also need a God to help you in your battles. You've always got an enemy across the river that wants to fight with you, and you need an upper edge, so you need a God to help you defend yourself. If your crops fail this year, it was a good chance back then that you must have made God angry, whichever God you had. If you were unfortunate in accidents or whatever, you weren't doing something right. People still believe this today. And if that enemy across the river started to fight with you, and he won, then it was very obvious that his God was more powerful than your God. And it was not uncommon for these people to ditch their God and adopt this more powerful God. You need all the help you can get, and you want the best God you can get. Now, that was the common opinion, except for people that you read about in the Bible. But then, all of a sudden, you started to see a difference in the lives of the Israelites. People started seeing the workings of a God that created all by his power. This was not a God that you could pick up and put down at will. This was not a God that could be bribed or impressed with how good you were. But this was a God that created everything, put everything in harmony and in balance and in order. This was not like the gods of the magicians and the gods of your imagination. This was a God of religion that began working in these people's lives. and then you saw prophets come along and they started preaching that this God was a God of righteousness and truth and that laid down rules and expected its people to follow them. This was a new type God that also with this giving of rules, giving of laws, and expected you to be obedient to them with that ability to obey or disobey, became a certain gift. A certain gift, and that gift was the ability to be obedient, the gift to be able to obey or disobey. And we see that this is man's free will. Nobody made me be here today. This was a will that God gave me. He gave me this ability to appreciate what I have. This was a special gift that was given to man. It's a freedom of mind that he gave. He didn't give it to the other things of nature, the other things of creation. I can pick up this book and hold it out here and turn loose. Guess what's going to happen to it? The forces of nature controls that, makes it fall. You look up in the sky and see the clouds. Where are they going? They're going exactly where the wind tells them to go. It starts to rain, and you know which way those raindrops are going. They're going by the forces of nature. They have no control. That best dog that you have, as soon as you come in the door, he's going to run to you. Why? Because his instincts tell him that as soon as he comes to you, you're going to scratch his neck, and you're going to give him a treat. So he follows his instincts to do that. And he'll also follow his instincts whenever you quit giving him those treats. And he starts getting hungry. You better watch out because his instincts will take over. But that's not true with man. Our almighty eternal God gave us a will. A will that's so far reaching that just because the wind blows in that direction, I can walk in that direction. I don't have to run downhill like water. I can go against that, and that free will is so far-reaching is that I can even disobey my Creator. That's what our freedom allows. And whenever we see that we have this freedom, it's a inner freedom. That we are to come before our Almighty God and produce our feelings and our emotions in obedience. We show our obedience this day. We show the power and the grace of God in giving us our freedom whenever we go down on our knees and pray for forgiveness. Whenever we say, we thank you, O Lord, for thy mercy upon us. Whenever we praise him that this almighty eternal God loved us so much before the foundation of the earth that he would send his son to die in our room instead. Whenever we come with the freedom to say, I don't believe in you, God. I don't care how many times you say it, but whenever we come and say, I do believe in you, I do trust you, I do thank you, I do appreciate what has been done in my room instead, that's celebrating the freedoms that we have. Without these freedoms, we can't have any of this. We wouldn't want any of this other. So this is a celebration today of God granting us freedom. And I'm so thankful we live in a country that we can celebrate our independence. But I'm also glad we live in a country that we can celebrate our freedom by being here today. What a wonderful God we have. I'll quit on that. I hope as we celebrate our independence, that we can thank God for our freedom. He's blessed us beyond measure. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Amen.
Appreciate Brother Gene and Sister Gene being here today. Appreciate you being here. Announce the doors of church are open for reception of members. Anyone have a desire to have a home with the church, then come now before we leave this place. Please remember the expenses of Brother Gene. He's traveled quite a distance, and as well as some of y'all too, for that matter. But I invite you to come back again next month. I've asked Brother Gene to fill in for me in September, Labor Day, September. He's graciously approved. So I ask you to remember him in your prayers, remember me in my prayers, and remember the expenses of the church. Brother Keith, you have a song when you sing.
70.
Number 70.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling.
Sandy Creek. We're not far down the road. Down 421, get off the
Highway 49 Liberty, exit, turn right, go to the crossroads, take a right, Sandy Creek Church Road. We meet at 2:30 every second Sunday afternoon.
Good place to go. I got some neat stuff to see when you get down there, too.
Yeah.
Anything else? Invite you all to come back again here next weekend, or next first Sunday. All hearts and minds satisfied with the Lord be dismissed. But holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We ask you to continue to be around about us. We ask you to bless this dear elder and his companion. Keep them safe, oh Lord. And, we ask you to be around about each one that's gathered here this day. Heal them, give them comfort of peace and comfort of mind. Heal their bodies and give them strength, oh Lord. Continue to lead and guide our footsteps. Protect and keep us from all harm and evil. Bless this country. Bless our troops, dear God, and be around about us all. In Christ's name, we humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.